You know, as I was thinking about a couple of years ago, we started a new church from Hope Church, and with people who moved that month and the people that started the church, over 100 people left Hope Church. And on that September, when we got back and we started kids ministry and youth ministry, we had a great youth group of zero. And I thought, oh God, what have we done? And to see what God is doing through Pastor Zach and Kelsey, and even like with the worship team, we had all of them left, our worship leader, our kids pastor, and it's just amazing at how good God is. Well, gosh, we're so glad that you're here. Hope at Home, thank you for tuning in. And this morning, I want you to know, even if it's your first time here, I spent time praying for you this morning, that God would truly bless you and that God would open your heart to receive from Him today. Maybe it's through the video, maybe it's Pastor Zach sharing, maybe it was the great singing. Hopefully it'll be through when we connect to the scriptures. And as I'm 58, and as I get a little older, I realize one of the greatest blessings in sharing my life is to have kids and grandkids. And one of life's greatest challenges is how to raise kids correctly. I remember when we had our first sweet little baby, and he was so cute, and then all of a sudden kids turned two and they turned three, and it gets a little more interesting. It's a different dynamic. Then things are kind of easy sailing for a while, and then something happens, and they become teenagers. And I think, was it Mark Twain who said, when a child becomes a teen, you put them in a barrel and feed them through a hole. And then when they turn 16, you just plug the hole. Now, I don't know that I agree with that, but I can tell you this. Raising kids is an incredible blessing, but it's also hard. It's hard on kids, and it is definitely hard on parents. And I love seeing, there was a herd that left. I love seeing all of the little kids at Hope. And I also, this is bad, but I'm going to say it. I love seeing the stress on parents' faces with these little kids. It's just like, and I think, this is so good. And here's the thing. You are not alone. I've even had young parents say to me, well, do you understand? Of course not. Our kids were pastor's kids. We said sit, and they sat until we came back and told them to move. I mean, we had kids. And, you know, our kid was the one who ran off the stage screaming, and kids are kids. It's not new. You're not alone. I think that as we've been studying the book of Ephesians, this is something that happened even in Bible times. So Paul writes about this topic and gives us a couple of suggestions as parents. Now, this is such a great verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, don't go get your toddler and bring him in here and set him down. But I would use this. You can get it online. You can just replay it every night for them so they can get it subconscious. I mean, look at that. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. It's interesting here that Paul doesn't say, hey, parents, have your kids obey. Instead, Paul is speaking directly to kids. He's speaking not just to the little ones. Paul is referring to all of those who live under your parents' roof. Whether you're 3 or 23, if you eat their food and use their toilet, this is what Paul is saying to you. Obey your parents. So this word obey is an interesting word. It's the same word that was used last week when it talks about submitting. We submit to the Lord. And Kevin did, that was a bold sermon last week. And I tell you this, what I know about marriage, what I know about guys, what I know about gals is this. I've never met a woman who will not follow a godly man. But when it talks about here, obey, it means submit. That's what he's talking about here. It's a word that's common in Ephesians. It means to follow direction and guidance. Children are to obey their parents. Why is this? Because it pleases the Lord. Now, I promise you, it doesn't just please the Lord. It pleases your parents as well. And in Colossians, this is what we read. Children, always obey your parents, for this is pleasing to the Lord. John Maxwell tells a little story about two boys, and they're on their way to school, and they're talking about families. And one little boy says this, I have figured out a system for getting along with my mom. The little boy said, well, what is that? Says, well, whatever she tells me to do, I do it. So children, obey your parents. How do they obey? If you're a student in here and you go, obey my parents, well, what does that mean? It means to obey them as long as it's in the Lord. There's always a limit to a child's obedience. When a parent is not acting in the Lord, there's a time not to obey. And you would not disagree with this. The Lord has nothing to do with unrighteous or abusive behavior towards children. You know that, I know that. And if a parent's trying to encourage a child to do something that's absolutely out of line with God, well, then that is a time when we don't obey. And what I love about Jesus is that he was pretty straightforward, and one of the most severe warnings that really has ever been issued in human history comes from the Lord, and he's talking about children. It says this in Mark chapter 9, and whoever offends one of these little ones that believes in me, it is better for him that a millstone were to be hung about their neck and they were to be cast into the sea. That's super powerful. And I think I've said this before, but Jesus really cared about kids. He really cared about kids, and I think one of the reasons is because when he was a very little boy, Herod wanted to eliminate anything that had to do with this group of people following a star to Bethlehem, and Herod said, kill all the kids that are young males. And so all of the children were murdered, except for one. And he was told his parents by the Lord to go to Egypt. And I know that Jesus had to have known. All the other little boys my age are not around. And why is that? I mean, multiple times in the scripture, hey, they were going to bring little children. No, and Jesus says, no, you bring the little children to me that I might bless them. And so kids are super important. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And secondly, I love this, that we do it with honor. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And I don't think, I know I didn't. Parents, even parents that aren't the greatest, they really do try. And it's hard to be a parent. I mean, if you're a teenager right now, I go, man, it just stinks being me. You try and be your parent. It's not easy, and I think it says to honor there, and that's holding somebody in a high esteem and treating them well, and that's a little different than speaking disrespectfully or not listening or talking back. And I think the scripture, it wants us to honor that position of parent no matter what. When my dad came back from Vietnam, he was not a good dad anymore. I think things went wrong and it changed him, and it was really hard. It was hard on our family, it was hard on him. And the scripture's still true. There is a position of parent that you honor. And I just want to encourage us that it helps us to see, if we never honor, even when things are hard, what happens when things in life get hard? Do we just say, okay, God, forget it? Oh, God, it's not going well, forget it? There's really valuable lessons that we can learn here. When it talks about children, you need to obey. It's not just because it makes your mom and dads or whatever the parent situation is. Sometimes it's grandma and grandpa, sometimes it's uncles, sometimes it's whoever has that role. To obey, it just helps. And then to show honor, I think it's a big deal. And then the tide kind of changes. And Paul begins to address the one who has the responsibility of raising up kids. Paul says this, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." In other words, parents, don't provoke your kids. I mean, it's hard on kids. I mean, no kid likes to be disciplined. No kid likes to be told no, and discipline, you know, correction, trying to keep your kid from sticking a fork in an outlet, you know, they don't like it because they have no idea that, you know, that will light up their world. And so we try to protect our kids. I totally get that. But what this is talking about is, and parents, we can do this, to poke our kids in a way that is super hard on them and it's exasperating to them. And I want to give you a couple of possibilities of how this can happen. Now, these aren't for you to try on your kids. These are more for you to say, hey, I probably don't want to do this. But here's one. I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, and it was really hard on kids when a parent or a coach or somebody compared them to somebody else. You know, gosh, you know, I'm so glad you got a B, but your sister got an A. Why can't you do that? And in your mind, you're thinking, yeah, I'm the one that wasn't as good enough. And that's hard. And the other thing that we can do is we treat them with constant suspicion. I remember a parent, gosh, they were so overbearing and so suspicious of relationships that their teenager had that they actually drove them to do the very thing they didn't want them to be doing. And the truth is, instead of actively parenting, this parent was reactively parenting. I know what I did and I know what I thought, so I've got to stop my kid from ever thinking or going there. And instead of helping, it actually hurt them. And then here's one. Never let your kid forget what they did wrong. I remember the night Kevin wanted to use our car, and Sharon, I mean, she's super spiritual. She said, "Jim, the Lord told me that Kevin's going to crash the car tonight." I'm like, "Of course he did, dear one." I said, I mean, but the Lord spoke to her, and I'm like, "Sure he did. You know, he didn't tell me. I'm the pastor." Well, I said, "I'm going to Walmart, and when he crashes the car, call me." Kid you not, she called me. I go, "Hey, did he crash the car?" She goes, "Yes, he did." "Nah." "Uh-huh." So I drive over to the school, and there was like a miracle that happened. There's a curb, and then there's a tree. Then there's our car on the tree. And the miracle was, Kevin said, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I was only driving like 5 miles an hour." There's a miracle of God because God took the car at 5 miles an hour, had it jump the curb and fly over and stick the tree. Well, there was a piece of the tree in the car. It was around Christmas time. So I took that precious piece of the tree and made an ornament. And this is not how bad I am. Don't do this. Every year, like, I don't know, there's just something in me that wants to pull out that ornament. Look what you did. I mean, he was so good. He's like, oh, I'll pay the deductible. You know, I remember, you know, the airbags went off. I'm like, Kevin, did the airbag hit you in the face? He's like, yeah, and it hurt. And inside I'm going, I'm so happy that happened. I mean, what? Parents, don't exasperate your kids. And I still love that ornament. How about this one? Live inconsistent lives in front of your kids. Kids, don't do this. Boom, here you are. Don't do that. And there you go. That drives kids nuts. You know, the goal of parenting is to take this precious little gift God has given you and raise up that precious little gift that gift can go out and make it on their own in society. I did a wedding, oh, it was so fun, on Friday in Branson, but Thursday night we had the rehearsal and just messing. You know, dads came down and went to give away the daughter, and you know, who gives this woman to be married to the man? Oh, the mother and I. And I said, and no returns. The mother went, no, we want her back. I go, okay, this has never happened. This is kind of awkward. I go, what do you mean you want her back? Yeah, if it doesn't work out, we'll take her back. I never wanted her to leave the home anyway. Parents, that's not your deal. I think that's why teenagers can be sometimes not as nice, because if they were so nice to you, you'd never want them to move away. Well, here's something that parents do. Parents, and it happens more now than when I was a kid. We helicopter and we try to control anything that's going on. As a matter of fact, a lot of parents do not let their kids suffer natural consequences of their actions. A lot of parents are not letting their kids get in trouble. They're jumping right in and trying to make a lot of excuses. They argue with teachers, they blame their friends, they leave churches, they sue the school. They do not let their children to be held accountable. And this isn't good. It provokes our kids not to grasp the fact that life has boundaries. And it actually gives stress related to a lack of accountability. You know, we hear all the time, oh, the millennials, you know, they don't want to come to work. And, you know, they come to work one day of the week and they think they should get a raise. And that's not the millennials' fault. It's the parents, because we don't let our kids suffer. I mean, I remember in junior high, it's a little different back then. This guy would have gone to jail. Coach Prickett, they were all eating watermelon. And one of the kids I knew, I'm like, hey, bro, can I have some? Yeah. Well, I didn't realize it was their celebration. Their celebration after their year of track. So I'm eating a watermelon. All of a sudden, I turn around, and Coach Prickett took the watermelon and smashed it in my face. And he said, you didn't earn that. Get the heck out of here. All right, imagine if that would happen today. I'd be driving a different car. I mean, we're not allowed to hold anyone accountable. Let me give you a little secret, those who have young kids. You want your kids to make mistakes while they're still with you, because the ones that are really hard are the mistakes they make and they're no longer in your house. Now, I know it's hard. Every kid wants tons of freedom, but they don't want to have responsibility. I mean, I get it. But I am telling you, if you want to have your kids rescued every single time they do something that they shouldn't, that's going to be tough. And then we don't develop a healthy respect for authority, and we don't actually build a kid's self-esteem. When you struggle and then you figure it out, it builds your self-esteem. And if mom and dad are always swooping in, that doesn't help. Boy, here's one. Oh, this is so hard for parents. Have you ever shown an imbalance in your discipline? Like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 47, 51. And then like, you know, you're doing so well. You're like, okay, and you're in the store and, you know, they were like a little angel. All of a sudden they want this dumb toy that's going to break and you don't get it for them. And they completely go psycho on you. And people are looking at you wondering if they should call DHS. And, you know, you kind of get through that. Then you go home and they do one little thing and you just go crazy for the last 37 things they've done. I remember doing that with our daughter. It's hard. And it's very fun to watch our daughter and her husband, who are great parents, having toddlers. It's really fun to watch all of you young parents having toddlers. And we'll be at a bike ride, and your kids are as cute as can be, and then they go nuts. And just to watch your eyes, like, I don't know what to do, you know. The problem is consistency always is better than severity. If you're going to do the 1, 2, 3, there is no 4. Ever. Because what you don't realize is that your kid is smarter than you are in some ways. Like, wait, 1, 2, 3, I can get to 6 before they're serious. Or I can get to 10 and then I'll back off and look cute. They're so smart. Don't count to 10 if you don't want to do it at 10. Don't count to 4 if you want them to obey at 2. Wait, no, Pastor Tim, go back to the children obey your parents. That's what we wanted to hear today. I'm just trying to encourage you. And how can I encourage you in this? Because I didn't do it right in a lot of ways. I wish I could say, man, we were just perfect. Sharon really was good. She really was good. And I was next or something. But here's what I'm telling you can learn from me. Okay, you can exasperate your kids by living inconsistently. You can exasperate your kids by being imbalanced in your discipline. You can exasperate your kids when you compare them to somebody else or you're not getting through your own issues and you project them onto your kids. You can exasperate your kids when you never let them do something wrong and then forget about it. Here's one last thought, and this is a good one, and this is hard. Parents need to realize that things change. Time and generations change. Kids are now part of their own generation, and they're not going to be able to conform to your generation. It might be sad, but a parent's generation is gone. I doubt, you know, with our kids, I could bring them and we would sing, you know, Kumbaya on the beach, you know, around a fire, here we go. And that was super fun. You know, our kids got into video games and it's all good. But what I'm trying to tell you is your generation's gone and they live in a different generation. So you're not going to get them back. To give them responsibility that they step out on their own, unless you want them at 38 living in your basement and playing video games while you go to work and support them. I'm just saying. And I, parents, I get this. I mean, I'm just teasing with that, but there is a tightrope between responsibility and freedom. Many times I thought it was hard when our kids were super, super little because we just didn't get enough sleep. When they become teenagers and then they're hanging out with friends and they're driving, that's when we really didn't sleep because we were just worried they weren't in our control. And they probably never were, but at least it felt like they were. And so what do you do? I love what the next part of this verse says, and we're going to shift gears again. Don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So Paul gives it, hey, this is what you ought not do, but then he spins it around and says, but let me tell you what I encourage you to do. He says to bring them up in the training of the Lord. And this is a really important thing. Whatever caregiver you are, this is translated into a verb, and it's a verb that was used in chapter 5 when it talks about a husband's role leading and caring for his wife. Whatever your job is in caregiving, a major part of that is nurturing a family and sharing love and encouragement in the Lord. The scripture says that we bring them up in the Lord. We bring up children in the Lord because they're not going to be able to get there just on their own. We bring them up in the Lord. While we didn't do a lot of things right, I can tell you one thing we did right. We did our very best to help our kids know Jesus. Not because I'm a pastor were we in church, because we love the Lord, we're in church. And we made it a priority because so much more in life is caught than taught. And we made a priority of being in church. We made a priority of reading the little ABC Bible. We made a priority of praying with our kids. And why is that? Because we had no guarantee. In my heart, I knew I have no guarantee when our kids go out on their own what they're going to do. But I want to make sure I've done the best I can do to give them a foundation on which they could build a life. They may choose it, which is really what I want them to do, or they may go another direction, but it's not because they haven't had that foundation. We really do take an active role in shaping the character of our children. I mean, we really do. It's a huge responsibility. And I think that's why Paul brings it up. Hey, kids, you need to obey your parents. If you say, I want to please the Lord, then part of that's obeying your parents. And it's learning that there are structures in life that we have to submit to. And then he says, hey, parents, specifically here, fathers, you got to bring them up in the Lord. You got to help them. John MacArthur put it this way, what ruins most children is not what their parents do to them, but what they didn't do for them. I don't have a manual. I mean, there's a lot of things written on how to be a good parent. But I can tell you this right here is more than a manual. The principles in God's word matter. And for a parent to try to convince their kid to know the Lord and the parent has no time for the Lord, that doesn't work well. And I just want to encourage you parents to do whatever it is to help guide and rear your kids in the ways of the Lord. And there are benefits to that. A child who's brought up to know Christ learns about love. I remember as a little kid, I still know that, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. And you can sing that song, right? For the Bible tells me so, you know, red and yellow, black and white. I didn't learn about being prejudiced. They're all precious in His sight, right? I mean, you know, the prayer was a little hard. The one, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die, well, that's a little scary. Before I wake, you know, you always said a prayer, God, please, you know, I think you got me to pray. Now they've changed that prayer. I think you should go back to the old school, you know. Don't babysit me. If you die, where are you going, kid? I'm two, Dad. I don't even know what you're talking about. A child who is brought up in the Lord learns that they're loved and learns that if they want to love the Lord, they need to treat others in that way. A child who's brought up in the Lord learns to have hope and faith because life is hard. A child who's brought up in the Lord has help and can go to God when they realize they're not the fastest kid at school. And when they realize, even though you've told them they can do anything, you know, they're 5'4" and a senior in high school and they want to play pro ball. I mean, you know, they can go, sorry, pastors, trust and that they can be forgiven when temptation comes our way and we end up landing in a pitfall, that we can be forgiven and we can come back to Jesus. A child who is brought up in the ways of the Lord understands it's not just now, but it's eternity. It's eternity that they are secure. I mean, I could go on. There's a peace that comes from knowing the Lord. I prayed for little Thorin the other day, and he looked at me and goes, Papa, why did you do that? You obey me. No, I said, because Papa loves you, and Jesus cares about you too. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, don't exasperate your kids. And it's not easy. I know that. Here was the last sentence I wrote. God help us as we venture together in the blessing of raising kids and helping them have a relationship with you. That's my prayer for you, young parents or grandparents who are loving on kids. Or my prayer for you is that God would give you strength. And I know it's hard. And I think that's why Paul gives us these great words of instruction. Let me pray for all those who are rearing kids today. Father, thank you that, man, you know the times when it's so hard for parents. It wasn't always easy for us, and there were times we cried out to you. And God, I look back and wish I was a better parent. And I pray today for all of those who have the responsibility for raising up little ones, whether they're little or teenagers or adult kids. God, that you would help us. If we're teenagers or kids in our parents' home, God, help us. Help us to obey you by listening to them. And God, as parents, sometimes we are literally at our wits' end. Help us to turn to you. Help us to pray to you. Help us to have wisdom that comes from you that we don't know on our own. Help us to rely upon your word. God, there are principles in the scriptures that transcend time and transcend culture that absolutely matter today. Help us, Lord, I pray. And God, I know Sharon and I bless the parents today. We bless them. We bless them in you, God, and pray that you would give them strength. And God, we thank you for all of the young families here at Hope Church. Bless them, God. In Jesus' name, amen.